This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's begin today with Watertown Police Chief Ed DeVoe, who retires tomorrow after 32 years on the force. He's been chief for the past 14 years and was thrust into the national spotlight more than 2 years ago, following the dramatic shootout with the Boston Marathon bombers and the 20-hour search for Jahar Tsarnaev that shut down much of metropolitan Boston.
Chief DeVoe talked to us about that day, including about mistakes that were made. He also told us he's proud of his officers and grateful that all of them survived the unprecedented confrontation with the Tsarnaev brothers.
No one, my officers or even myself, do we ever receive any training that would prepare us for something like this. It's the first time in America that a police officer has been shot at and had bombs thrown at him. It was just something that we just totally, obviously, took us by surprise and more. You know, for me personally, I had just gone to bed. I'd been sleeping for about 15 minutes, and Lieutenant O'Connor called me, woke me up, and said, "Chief, they're shooting at us, and they're throwing bombs at us." And I think these are the guys that killed the MIT police officer. And then to wake up to that, trying to digest what he was telling me, and then hearing the radio in the background and hearing another explosion just brought me back to reality, if you will, and said, "Okay, Lieutenant, you don't have to tell me anymore. I'm on my way." And then, you know, rushed to the scene, and all I could think and pray that my officers were going to be okay when I got there.
Is there a particular memory? I mean, these events have been hashed over and reported and talked about for so long, but I'm wondering if there's a particular memory that you, Chief DeVoe, have that stayed with you.
When I first got to the scene, it was just minutes after the shootout had ended and the younger brother had fled. And when I got to the scene, we were told that we had like four or five people stopped around town that somewhat fit the description. So we were almost relaxed a little bit for those first couple of minutes, thinking that we had the second suspect. We just had to figure that out. So, and I spent a few minutes with John McClellan, Jeff Pugliese, and Joey Reynolds, the three main officers that were involved. And it was amazing to me how calm they were, but I guess how humble they were. Just telling me, yeah, they were throwing bombs at us. We ran behind this tree. I jumped the fence. The pressure cooker bomb went off. And I was just shaking my head with everything they were telling me, what they did. And then the second, you know, vivid memory I have is now the day all plays out. We get the younger brother off the boat. I just wanted to get home to my family. I just wanted to go to the town yard and get some gas. And no one had prepared me that the public had come out. And so I drove out onto Mount Auburn Street and was just blown away by seeing all the town residents lining the streets, patting the cops on the back that were coming out. And it was, you know, 32 years on the job, it was my proudest day in law enforcement. What we accomplished and then have the support that we did from the public was just incredible.
But you've also admitted that there were mistakes made, things could have gone better. You told the Boston Globe that law enforcement could have done better at the scene of the boat where Jahar Tsarnaev was eventually apprehended. What could have gone better? What were you referring to specifically?
The biggest do-over, if you wanted to do, was we had great radio communication because 9/11, we get all that now. We didn't have it before then. So every time anybody said anything over the radio, everybody was hearing it. In hindsight, not everybody, 3,000 plus police officers didn't all need to hear it at the same time. If I had a do-over, the first thing I would do is, okay, let's, whenever we get a call here at the Watertown Police Department that sounds like this could be it, let's call the command post, let's get a plan in place, let's figure out how to corner that area off to deal with the public, the media, and other officers. All we really needed down there at that point at the boat was, you know, the command staff and two tactical teams. But at the same time, we had every officer that was in Watertown still heard 67 Franklin Street, and everybody, and, you know, for all the right reasons, everybody wants to help. So every cop rushed to try to find out where Franklin Street was.
Yeah, in fact, a state commission report on the emergency response to the bombing released in April talked about this, about the confusion of too many self-reporting police officers from outside of Watertown. They talked about poor weapons discipline at the boat. Do you agree with those conclusions?
Yes. I mean, I think it all has to be in context. At the time, you know, we're thinking we're going to catch him in 5 minutes. We're going to catch him in 15 minutes. We didn't set up at the Arsenal Mall thinking it was going to last 18 hours. If we had taken a step back and looked at it that way, then we would have controlled access better into Watertown, into the command post, and in that logistics area, and done things differently. Cops want to help, but they can't just show up and be unsupervised. So I think we have a lot of plans put in place now in the state of Massachusetts, how we'll do that better next time.
I want to ask you, and you alluded to this, how long it took to find Jahar Tsarnaev. And you said at the beginning you thought you were going to get him in 15 minutes, then 30 minutes. But he manages to slip away for 20 hours. He's found just 300 yards from where the stolen SUV that he was driving was abandoned. Where did he go? What happened for those 24 hours? Those 20 hours. What's the explanation for how he got away?
Sure. I mean, I think that's a good question. What we had when in those early minutes, we had a lot of people coming to Watertown, and it was a couple of state troopers in particular that set up perimeters. So that original perimeter was Walnut Street. So Franklin Street is just one street away, and that was the interior perimeter. So we were close.
But was it? How surprised were you that he was hiding so close to the original point that he ran away from that SUV?
When we first found out, we were just happy. You know, I mean, I was extreme relieved that, okay, we have him in the boat and no one else is hurt. My greatest fear that whole day was that he was in a house, maybe a two-family house, and that he had killed more people. So for me to find out that he was in the boat, yeah, could we look back and say, yeah, maybe we should have found him in the boat sooner than we did. But thank God no one else was hurt from the time he left Laurel Street till when we captured him on Franklin Street.
Well, you know, obviously the proof is in the pudding. You got him, you found him. But you just posed that question or that idea, you should have found him sooner. I mean, respond to that. If someone said, you should have found him sooner, what's the answer to that?
Well, I think, you know, if we all just left here now and said, you go hide someplace in Watertown and we'll try to come find you. We caught him that day. You know, Bin Laden didn't get caught for how long? You know, so I think I'm not trying to make any excuses. I just think we won in Watertown. No one else got hurt. And as the police chief in a very tense day, you know, that's what I take away from that.
Let me ask you just one more question about the pursuit. And this comes from your nomination for the George Hanna Memorial Award for Bravery. You wrote that your officer, John St. Ange, drove your private car the night of the shootout down Summer Street just as Jahar Tsarnaev was trying to escape in the SUV coming from the opposite direction. And you wrote that St. Ange's car blocked Tsarnaev, and Tsarnaev left the vehicle and ran into the backyards. So it sounded like St. Ange was incredibly close to getting him. Did he realize it was Tsarnaev at that moment?
That report was written not by me. It was submitted, obviously, under the chief's name by one of my lieutenants here, trying to summarize why our officers deserve to get an award in what happened. Appreciate you bringing it up because there's some people out there that are trying to make a big deal about this. There's some conspiracy or whatever. You know, you heard him at his statement in trial saying, I did it. You know, any conspiracy theories that there were other people involved, he said it was me and my brother. But to deal with this question, John St. Ange had worked 4 to midnight. He had gone home. He had his radio on, heard the shootout to start, just said, I'm going to go help my brother officers. He got into his own personal car, headed there. John St. Ange never saw the younger brother jump out of the car. What he saw was the abandoned car with the door open. John didn't do anything wrong. What he did was right. He called it in. I have this vehicle here. And at the time, they didn't even know if he was still in there. We needed to get a tactical team down there to clear that vehicle and a bomb team to make sure that it was safe. And it turned out it wasn't safe. So we eventually got up to that vehicle, realized there was no one in it, but also realized there was a bomb with a fuse in there.
So he didn't actually see Jahar Tsarnaev exit the stolen SUV?
No, absolutely not. John St. Ange never saw him. And if John did, John would have ran him down and we would have had him in the 5 minutes I talked about earlier. John's a good cop and he did everything right.
Chief Duhl, I'm wondering if you've ever considered, I mean, I'm sure you have, and I just want to ask you this. Why Watertown? Why did the Tsarnaev brothers come here three times during that night to the same tangle of streets? Any theories as to why?
Well, you know, Watertown is a diverse community. You know, we have a lot of great people. You know, we have a big Greek population here. We have a big Armenian population, Middle Eastern, and they're all good people. Bad people can fit in and walk among good people. So it doesn't raise an eyebrow at all here in Watertown. They, you know, lived in Cambridge. We know they had friends here in Watertown.
Were they known to your police officers?
No. I think the mother had her in a motor vehicle violation. She was given a citation. I believe the father worked in Watertown years ago prior to this. So they were familiar with Watertown. You know, it came out at the trial that the backpacks that were bought for the pressure cooker bombs were bought at the Watertown Mall Target store. So they were very familiar with Watertown. And, I mean, Cambridge, Watertown are right next door to each other. It's just a neighboring
community.
So
you think it was just sort of random as they were trying to get away that they ended up in this tangle of Watertown streets? It wasn't that they were coming here for a particular set of reasons.
I have no reason to believe that it was just them just being familiar with it.
Chief, the people of Watertown obviously were the most directly affected by Governor Patrick's shelter-in-place request the day of the manhunt. Some people debate if it was a request or an order, but in any event, do you think it was the right move on the governor's part?
Oh, absolutely, particularly here in Watertown. I mean, when we had that conversation at 5 a.m., I think we notified the media at about 5:30. It was a spirited discussion. May Menino was adamant in the beginning of that conversation. We give in to the terrorists if we shut down to change anything we do. And so we had a spirited debate about that. But when the governor asked me, you know, particularly, Chief, what do you want in Watertown? I said, Governor, as far as I'm concerned, I want Watertown closed. This person has already carjacked one person. We don't want to get anybody else hurt. I don't want any cars moving in Watertown. I don't want the transit buses coming in here and moving people around. I stand by that decision. You know?
And it's an understandable decision, but it's interesting, isn't it, that the moment the shelter-in-place order or request was lifted, that's when you got the call from a citizen about Jahar Tsarnaev in the boat. So it raises the question, you know, maybe the most effective policing can be conducted with the help of the public.
Sure. But if everybody was allowed to go about their business, he could have easily mingled in, got on the bus to Harvard Square. And that was our biggest concern. Harvard Square was less than 2 miles away from Laurel Street. If he gets on the red line, he can be anywhere in Boston. So if he got outside of our perimeters, and that's why we debated so much about how sure are we he's in or out. You know, when we lifted the lockdown, people were giving us credit that we purposely did that and we knew we were going to flush him out. And I said, no, we weren't that brilliant.
Let me ask you another question about something that came up during your tenure. In recent years, a couple of Watertown police officers have been connected to drug trafficking. One officer, John Degnan, pleaded guilty to stealing someone's ID and using it to buy prescription painkillers. Another former officer named in a federal drug indictment. Does this point to a deeper problem, do you think, in your department?
No. Second officer you talk about, he was terminated here well before anything.
This is Velasquez Johnson.
Roberto Velasquez Johnson.
Roberto Velasquez Johnson.
I think any police department mirrors society. We have good people and we have not so good people, and Velasquez Johnson was terminated and then went on, as you point out, to aid a drug conspiracy and is I believe he's still in jail now serving his punishment, as he should. And then the other unfortunate one is Sergeant Joe Degnan, who's been a longtime friend of mine. He and I graduated high school together. You know, he had some issues with pain, and unbeknownst to us, that he had some addictions to it. And he also served time in federal prison. So he's been punished, and it's I know he deeply regrets what he did, but it's not a reflection on this police department. He
so
feels
you're confident that those were isolated events. There isn't that kind of stuff going on that keeps you up at night and makes you worried about something deeper.
Well, no, I don't have any concern. We watch everything. You know, when we look back at both those things and say, where could we have done better? But, you know, we try to hire, every time we hire a police officer here, as most people do, we try to hire the best possible. We want to be the best police department in Massachusetts, and we can only get there by hiring the best possible people, and we're very diligent about doing that.
Chief, 32 years, it's a long run. What's the biggest lesson you've learned on this job and the proudest moment?
Well, I think the biggest lesson, you come out of the academy, they teach you all the rules, all the laws of arrest, and you come out and you think you're going to make all these big arrests. And then when you finally get to the finish line, you look back on it, that's not what you remember. What you remember always is the people that you helped along the way. People look up to police officers sometimes. You know, you hear criticism occasionally, and you think the public's against you maybe or something like that, but it's not true. The majority of people, they're silent. Even when now law enforcement being criticized across the country, people kind of remain quiet. Maybe one-on-one, they tell police officers, we love you, you know, we like your police department, or like that. But cops need to hear it, too, because we hear the criticism all the time. We're the ones who arrest. We're the ones who ticket people. We're the ones who pull you over. And you can get a look that it's us against the public, and that's not the case. And it takes a long time sometimes to figure that out.
Hmm. Well, Ed DeVoe, he's been the chief of the Watertown Police Department for the last 14 years. He's retiring now after 32 years on the force. Chief DeVoe, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you heard Ed DeVoe's reflection on what it was like to be a Watertown police officer and chief for 30-plus years. Let us know what you think about what he said. Send us a comment at radioboston.org. There's more of the show in just a second. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.